Two motherfuckers.
Hey guys, if you want to support The Wrestling Soup, you can subscribe to our iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Music, and TuneIn Radio.
Excuse me! This is Vicky Guerrero, and you're listening to Wrestling Soup with Snitzer.
Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Thanks for the early birthday thing. Now everyone thought it was my birthday yesterday.
I thought it was for some reason.
No, June 3rd. No, but that's okay. But I mean, everyone got to jump on it. But I'll take 3 days of love.
I just didn't know the date off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I can't even remember my mother's birthday sometimes.
I'm starting this off. I'm watching some of the scrum. I don't know if you saw it with.
He was all zooted on something. He looked like an insane person.
but nevertheless, it is bullshit what he said.
Yeah.
Eddie Kingston and fucking from the first dance and stuff. So we. Have you ever watched a wrestling?
You're not tired? Come on.
I'm tired as hell. Y'all's match was like 2 hours. So
yeah, it was great.
But my real question is, you had like a little bit of a Twitter war not too long ago with Eric Bischoff, where he, and I quote, he said, that you were the biggest financial flop in wrestling.
That's fucking bullshit. I can tell there's only one person that can attest to that. I don't know what other people. I can only attest what's happened here and public record. And some of these things are a matter of public record because things of freedom of information and stuff. So we do, you know, have over the years a good amount of financial data in pro wrestling. I can tell you, like, no one wrestler has ever come in and made a bigger plus delta financial difference in the history of my company going into, this is the third year anniversary this week, going into year four, no one person has ever made a more positive impact. We just did a record pay-per-view buy. Every pay-per-view, he's done a four pay-per-view cycle now. Every one of them was the record. Whether it was All Out, where he was a huge part of the draw with Darby, and his debut, of course, is a huge thing from the first dance, the biggest Rampage draw in the history of that show. The matches, he carried the Friday Night War, which, by the way, is a matter of record in fucking court in the state of California, that we won the Friday Night War. Just ask Jerry McDivitt, because he fucking wrote it. And this guy won it versus what? Matt Sydal.
So I asked that same question. Dan actually came up with the answer in the chat. And apparently in the lawsuit against MLW, mm-hmm. WWE isn't a monopoly because AEW beat them on Friday night for a half hour in the ratings.
Oh God, I'm surprised he doesn't have a shoulder injury from that reach. It's so ridiculous. I mean, he came off, and I'm proud of the IWC for everyone referencing Herb Abrams. I'm glad everyone remembers Herb. I always feel that he's forgotten in this.
Yes,
the original erratic owner, well before Paul Heyman, and we got, you know, did his speeches in the back, rallying up the troops for 1995 heat wave, whatever that was. Herb Abrams was doing that with his wrestlers and on TV and in promos, yeah, telling everybody. He got Andre the Giant, and WWE can't do anything about it. And it was one appearance. Andre walked out. He never came back. Reminds me of Tom Arnold in the Roseanne days, this jittery cokehead, like, kind of babble that you hear from people who are on something. Some people say it's attention deficit disorder medication, or could be coke, or could be, we're just speculating, but the dilated pupils and the wide eyes, and even there was some cringy moments from CM Punk. If you looked at CM Punk's demeanor, like, okay, Tony, calm down. Same way Samoa Joe looked more disgusted at the last scrum with Tony. Yeah. Khan felt, yeah, embarrassed to be there.
Yeah, no, but totally, you're right. Samoa Joe, we'll get to him too, because there's news about his shit as well, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, we joke about the cocaine. I'm guessing probably an Adderall guy. If I were to make an educated guess, he's probably on Adderall.
Well, maybe both.
Hey, he just doesn't seem cool enough for coke.
those are some serious. I mean, even behind the glasses, those are some serious wide eyes. Those are big eyes.
Oh,
and
yeah,
big eyes and dilated pupils. It's clear. You don't have to be. I like everyone's like, oh, all the doctors and physicians out here. What doctors and physicians? Drugs is a big part of American problems, and a lot of people know addicts. So you don't have to be an expert on that to know somebody is wired.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My God, come on. You know, I mean, you make an assessment from just being a human being. If someone is off kilter, you could tell Mish if any of your friends or someone is on something, or you just not paying attention. I mean, some people say, oh, I don't pay attention to that. Erratic behavior is very much gets your attention. I don't see how it doesn't.
Right.
You know?
No, he's on something. That doesn't surprise me at all. You know, it's just more along the lines of the shit that he's saying. You know, the idea that he believes he is a more successful promoter than Eric Bischoff and WCW is, it's insane. It's the rants of a crazy person.
It's the rants of a madman.
It is. Because it's like, look, and I was even saying it a few minutes ago. I'm like, dude, if he was trying to compare himself to Paul Heyman and ECW, financially, he probably could. Financially, he probably made more money than Paul Heyman. I almost don't doubt that because he's willing to put out more money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you ask fans who they remember more, what they remember more, ECW, hands down. ECW is a more recognizable name than AEW. And yeah, I mean, I guess in one sense you could sit there and say, oh, it's because of all the years that they had. Yeah, but they've been gone for 20 years. And I guarantee you people could still lay out their favorite ECW storylines. You know?
Of course. Yeah, no, of course. I think, you know, he's competing against himself. He's in a one-man fight. I don't think Vince really thinks that much about him. I don't think anybody does. I mean, you know, they have to pay attention here and there. But I think he's in something that he's not in, and I don't know who's feeding him. Clearly, Cody's not feeding him his ego.
No.
I don't know what kind of relationship he has with anybody else. But for him to – and also, you know, Mish, all the time when people over – you know, say something or overclaim something, it means that they have hangups about it, that it's not true. Something that's true. I mean, listen, I'm not the biggest AEW fan, but you want to, I don't hear a lot about him as far as people wearing the shirt. So when he was in WWE and on that streak after the pipe bomb and he was the guy and people were talking about St. Paul, it's not the same thing. He's trying to make like, this is some big get and some big coup. It's just, he got an older CM Punk. He got a 43-year-old guy coming off a 7-year layoff who's decent in the ring at best, but nowhere near the level of what he used to be. And not for nothing, most people didn't even know Hangman Page was the champion. So, you know, he took the belt. It reminds me of CM Punk's first title run in WWE, if you remember, which was uneventful.
Yeah.
For Hangman Page. I love when people go, what a great run, Page. And I'm like, did anybody even know he was champion outside of the AEW faithful? I just think Tony Khan is... and I don't think it's a work. I think he truly believes it. That's the thing. He's not working us. I love the people who are like Tony's. Nah, I think he really believes this. I think he believes if he overemphasizes it, he'll at least, some people will believe him, at least if he gets a couple of people to believe him.
Well, dude, it was so bad that when he was even doing that shit, at the end of that comment, CM Punk literally had to put his hand on him and go, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
I mean, when CM Punk is reeling the boss in, like, yep, shut the fuck up. Because he's talking about business and stuff, too. It's like, your finances are not publicly available. AEW is not a publicly traded company.
Right.
So you can sit there and say you're making billions upon billions of dollars every month, and nobody can challenge you because there's no proof. And other people will regurgitate what he says as fact. And it's like, no. I don't buy it. I don't fucking believe anything that comes out of this guy's mouth. And you're right. There's something to be said about a guy who becomes way, way too defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true. Not true. Yeah. Right.
No, what the thing is, that's the thing. You think CM Punk is like saying, calm down, because if you get some real nudge of an investigative reporter, someone's going to take the story and go, we really got to find out what Punk is making and what they're making from him. We really got to find someone. There's got to be someone out there. I know you post about it. I post about it. Draper, Joey, the other people that, you know, everyone is, you know, in the scrum is there for shits and giggles. No one's there for real tough questions, or they're afraid they'll get ostracized. But someone, there's going to be somebody with power that's going to go, this, I got to look into this, because, you know, even CM Punk was like real in the men. Maybe CM Punk doesn't want people to know how much he's making. or want people, because then there can be that right. So he's like almost in that way. I think the putting his thing like, calm down, Tony. I'm not doing that great. I don't want to open up a can of worms here that someone, you know, gets the report of what I'm making to what I'm bringing in. You know, we might not be able to back it up no matter what you say. So yeah, you're right, Mish. It's very easy. That's like someone like Ric Flair. I banged 5,000 girls. Now, I personally don't believe that, but he's saying it. There's no evidence, but he'll constantly say it that some people will believe it, but there'll be some people who go, no, I won't report this because it's not facts.
The number that's up online for CM Punk's AEW contract is $3 million a year for 3 years.
Insane money, by the way.
And right. But that doesn't include whatever he makes for merch. It doesn't include any kind of, you know, extras that might be involved. So who knows? Who knows what his over and under is? Don't the wrestlers pretty much get like 100% of it?
I doubt that.
The merch profits sold from the merch.
Well, he overpaid CM Punk, but the funny thing is I heard, no names mentioned, but I heard that MJF makes less than Bobby Fish, which is ridiculous, by the way. And if that's the case, they probably, MJF, Jungle Boy, Darby, I'm sure they got him for cheap on the dollar when they signed them, because they were not who they are today.
Right.
But that's probably what MJF, I'm sure we'll get into MJF, but you know, that's probably what his issue is. I mean, I heard he makes less than Jack Swagger, less than Bobby Fish, because they have names from the WWE. And isn't it ironic that if you have a name for the WWE, you get the big money, but if you're an AEW original, you get scale.
Right.
So how ironic. How ironic.
Let me just follow this up. Dan says, doesn't it all go through Pro Wrestling Tees? And Nick says the merch that goes through Pro Wrestling Tees where PWTs takes a cut. Yes. But I don't think AEW takes a cut. So, for example, if Wrestling Soup were to sell a Wrestling Soup t-shirt at Pro Wrestling Tees for $20, we would get $7 of profit from $20. I think it's gotten a little less now. I think we're down to like $5 and $5.50 now. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it used to be $7. So $13 was split between the t-shirt and the printing and their cut and PWT's cut. So if AEW or the talent are selling t-shirts for $30, then they're probably getting around $17 or $15 per t-shirt sold. On estimate, I don't know if that PWT price increases the higher you go. It might. You know what I mean? So if you charge $100 for a shirt, they're going to take more because you're charging more for it. But I'm not 100% sure on that. But I don't think AEW takes a cut. Whereas if this was WWE, of course, WWE would take their cut. And then the t-shirt company or the press or the merchandiser would take their cut. And then the cost, and then the wrestlers would get whatever was left over.
Right, right. I mean, that's just insane money for him and AEW and what they draw and what they do. I mean, that's just nutty. I would never pay CM Punk what I pay Undertaker. That's insane. But, you know, if Tony's enamored by him or whatever, you know, he can afford it, you know.
And this is an old – I want to say that I remember talking about this 2 or 3 years ago. This is not something new. So I don't know if the merchandising rules has changed. I see B Sharp saying that no way that they're getting 100%. That doesn't make sense. They'd be lucky to get 50%. I agree with you. I think it's kind of crazy if that ever even was the platform for AEW talent, that still might be the platform for AEW talent. It's still weird to me that they're working with Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah, that is weird.
You know, I mean, I guess, but yeah, I don't know. I know that they have an investment through PWT, but I don't think they own it. I think it's still owned individually, independently of AEW.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So you wrestled a bunch of young guys, a bunch of veterans in between there, Will Hobbs, Daniel Garcia, goddammit. And then he showed up, did the biggest program in terms of everything, TV, box, ever with MJF. And then he did the goddamn main event here. He's the biggest part of financial success in the history of this company. Go. Let's fucking go! but nevertheless, it is bullshit what he said.
We don't need to everybody's got a shitty opinion, so just let them have it.
That's a shitty opinion. It's the most bullshit opinion I've ever heard, and like I said, I hope the answer I gave got backed up why he's the opposite. He's actually, for us, the biggest financial success story. And
okay, we're moving on.
Thank you.
Yeah, but it's interesting that the talent has to tell the owner, let's move on.
Right.
Oh, you know, no. Usually the owner will say that to the talent.
Yeah, he's out there.
Yeah, he sounds like a kid. Yeah, you played that for people and say, this is the billionaire owner of this company.
This is the second richest man in all of wrestling.
Yeah, no, exactly. So like, this is the CEO of this company talking. Yeah. Fuck. Ridiculous.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
Really proud of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And talk about pay-per-view length. You know, that was under 3 hours. It was like kept it to 3 hours. It's different. If that's really what people want from AEW, I'm open to it, okay? If people want less for their $50, I'm open to doing it if that's really what people want. But I do think, look, a lot of commercially successful things, the Batman, I see people saying to Matt Reeves, like, you made a long Batman, but it's also the most commercially successful thing that Batman's done in a long time. So it's worked very well for us because we did record numbers and the crowd was hotter than they've been. So, you know, you do hear, but again, you see that's the one thing people say about the Batman, right? 3 hours. But it worked. Well, you're the one who asked.
I know, but when you started AEW, you said you didn't want to do these, like, the shows. You said you didn't want these WrestleMania-like shows. That's what I'm wondering is if your strategy has just changed in the 3 years.
Well, I've seen some, again, I've learned a lot, and pay-per-view numbers have grown, and again.
You've learned a lot the month? All right.
And that's part of, like, on pay-per-view, yeah, I think we've grown.
I can't listen to much
every
more of this.
Milestone we could hit, we've hit. Every pay-per-view year over year has gone up, and we did it again tonight. And it was against probably the toughest competition for any Double or Nothing yet.
Ugh. All right. Yeah. Constantly. Oh, you know, we don't like fucking WWE. Their shows are too long. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a 5.5-hour show.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, and also, you know, why do they do these media scrums? It's not a real fucking sport. It's fucking predetermined. It's so stupid. I love people online going, Vince McMahon never does that. He wouldn't. It's because it's stupid to do that. I just find these scrums to be a big circle jerk. No one asks any tough questions. And like I said, by the grace of God, one day there'll be someone with the power of a Dave Meltzer or someone of that ilk who's going to go the other way and go, I really got to look into some of this stuff because no one's challenging it. Nobody, you know? And I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, everyone would be, you know, when they do those conference calls, I guess that would be equivalent to some sort of scrum, right? Well, they do those conference calls and they have people call in.
Yeah.
But I noticed they don't softball anything when Triple H was answering it and Stephanie. They let those tough questions go through about stuff. Yeah. Even when Bray Wyatt was let go that time. How could you let him go?
Well, do you really think that these AEW scrums aren't vetted? You think?
Oh, no. I know. But they, I mean, even to make it look good, Mish, even when you're working somebody, so to speak, let something slip in there. Almost like when you're in a boxing ring and two boxes, someone's going to take the fall. Hit me a couple of times so it looks good.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Hit me with a couple of jabs, stun me a little bit so I look like I took a shot. Make it look good. That's the old thing. Make it look good. Mm-hmm. You know, even if something's a work or deceiving, make it look good. And they don't even bother anymore, Mitch. They don't even bother.
So there's the conference call, right? TNA does the conference call still. I think WOW did during their first season. They had a couple. I think MLW even had a conference call that kind of floated through my inbox at one point.
Yeah, I think Court Bauer did some stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he does it anymore, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while. I mean, yeah, I still get every once in a while. I used to get the shows sent to us early, so we get to watch MLW before MLW airs.
Does the NWA do that, Mish? Billy Corgan ever do those kind of things to me?
When he was running Patreon during COVID and everything else like that, they would have monthly meetings for the higher tier patrons.
Right.
I don't know if they still do that. Yeah, apparently Maurice is saying that they did at the Crockett Cup. Yeah. But are they still doing that regularly? Because I was looking, all right. So when Mickey James was running the first NWA women's event, I was trying to get in on that. I really was, to be fair. There was nothing. There was no scrum. There was no conference call, nothing for that, which I was kind of surprised by. But after they pretty much closed down their Patreon, I think the regular connections with the NWA kind of ceased. I mean, they might still do stuff, obviously, at the Crockett Cup they did. But
yeah,
it doesn't make them look good either. He comes off as kind of a joke. All right, so the two pieces of news, obviously, that people are still buzzing about is what the fuck is going on with MJF and what the fuck happened with Samoa Joe. So Samoa Joe, we'll start off with the simple one. He didn't show up for the fan service for the what was it called?
The meet and greet, the fan fest.
Yeah, the fan fest. He no-showed it. He no-showed the fan fest, and Tony Khan and Tony Khan's people said it was just a misunderstanding. But I don't know. Samoa Joe already looks like a guy who's sick of this shit.
He does. I've seen him, and he doesn't look. It's just a different look. He looked more content in WWE. It just, you can kind of tell someone's demeanor. I mean, I'm a guy myself who at work, people say they can tell if I'm in a good mood, I look, something's on my mind, or I don't have a good poker face. I never did.
Right.
So I understand that. And I you can tell certain people's demeanors, people who don't sell things, but it's just other people. Just since he's been there and the appearances I've seen, it just doesn't look right. Right. Doesn't look right to me.
And this match wasn't great with Adam Cole either. Let's be honest. You watched the
No, I did. You know, as much as people want to think that I didn't watch it, I did. Because it would be ridiculous for me to comment on something that I literally didn't see whatsoever. I think I let people think that, who think I'm just straight up AEW hater.
Yeah.
But again, I just can tell. Like, you know, first of all, that whole grass is greener thing is nonsense anyway. And Samoa Joe. Again, there's no evidence that he missed it on purpose, communication problem. But again, if it was the WWE, we know where this narrative would be going.
Right.
You know, it was totally a fuck you to WWE. Everything, AEW gets the benefit of the doubt, even with MJF, for most people, not from people like us who are going to take him to task, and people who support the show and are in the chat now are going to ask questions. But it seems like the loud vocal majority is like, oh, no. There's nothing to see here with MJF, nothing to see here with Samoa Joe. There's a lot to see. And after that scrum, there's a lot to see.
I mean, going into the scrum as well, Khan refuses to comment about MJF. MJF obviously failed to show up at the fan fest on Saturday. And then he had a flight booked to New Jersey for the same day, which he never took. He never got on that flight. He stayed in Vegas. The controversy came when MJF lost his match in under 8 minutes. When people asked Khan to comment about MJF, he said, "I'm not going to comment on that. I've got a lot of stuff from the pay-per-view that I can comment on, but I'm not going to comment on that."
One of his biggest stars you're not going to comment on. Can you imagine McMahon or anybody saying, or even Triple H saying that on one of those phone calls? I'm not going to comment on one of our top stars or the future franchise of this company, supposedly. Well, now Wardlow is. They believe in Wardlow more than MJF, which is interesting because, yes, Wardlow's a homegrown talent like MJF, but Wardlow can't talk. And quite honestly, he looks like a big da-da-da, sort of an Italian. He is Batista number two. You know, I like Batista and stuff, but the Batista, you know, was spun into and became and grew into a character. I don't know if Wardlow's that guy. I mean, guys are already talking about going to Hollywood. I'm like, dude, you're not even that famous as a wrestler. calm down. You know, calm down. So I don't know. I thought MJF was the future. Clearly, maybe he's not. And I don't know what they're doing in this company. And I think it also goes to show you that the grass is definitely not greener there. They're so tight-lipped about everything. They don't. Again, it's the hypocrisy is huge. You know, the WWE is not being forthright about Sasha and Naomi, or they're just telling you what you want to hear. And the AEW is doing the same thing with MJF. I mean, it's the same thing. I don't see the difference. I love people go, it's not the same situation at all. Disgruntled people who don't want to work and are at odds with money and creative for their direction of their future. It is the same thing. But MJF is a bit major player, up and coming. And Sasha and Naomi are in the prime of their careers as young women. I think, what are they, both in their early 30s? They're all in the prime of their career, and they're dissatisfied and want some satisfaction. Doesn't matter if it's from a writer or from a paycheck. It's the same thing. Isn't disgruntled, Mitch?
I am a firm believer that context matters. I really hate that everybody's just saying that. Oh, well, you know, in this case, you can't compare the two. Why not? Why can't you compare the two? Well, because MJF's is about money. And Sasha Banks is about the art, about the purity of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. My God. So I guess in a way, MJF is the more the bad person because it's about money.
Well, right. Of course.
Because, you know, you're supposed to do this for the love of it.
Yeah. If they threw Sasha Banks $1 million to come out there on that Monday Night Raw, you think she would have shuffled that suitcase aside and said, no, it is for my art.
Yeah, it's weird. And what Dan goes to the mayor is right. You know, I like the guys, but a lot of people have weird takes on this where it's okay to do one thing, but not the other for basically the same thing. You're threatening to no show work or you're literally going to no show work.
Right.
It's the same end result that you're at a standstill. And you could say one's money, one's creative. It's the same thing. It's like all money, showing though. Up to work. Yeah, it's all, but it is all money.
It is.
With creative, if you're in the creative plans for the future and you're going to be decorated or you're going to be Sasha Banks, you're going to be world champion again. I don't believe Naomi will be. I think Sasha's obviously the bigger deal. Naomi's just part of this thing along for the ride.
Right.
And again, it all comes around to the same exact thing. Dissatisfaction at work. Not happy, the whole nine. I mean, I don't understand how people, I do understand what everyone's doing, Mish, if you want me to say it. A lot of our brethren and fellow podcasters are more anti-WWE and pro-AEW. It's just the way it is.
I don't even believe that they're as anti-WWE as their fans think they are. This is what their fans demand. Right. This is the stance that their fans want them to say.
But also, you know, you take from Wrestling Soup, Lord knows you and Joe and God knows me and DT have always, when you tuned in, you didn't know what we were going to say. Like there wasn't like, okay, I'm going to go with, I know where to go with our Soup following. I'm not going to rock the boat. I think all of us rock the boat regardless of the results. No, we're going to be straight up and that some would like it and some won't and that'll be it. But I think today's day and age, the narrative is, let's not upset this foundation. We got a good thing going here. I don't want any kind of venom I don't want to really do it back and forth with anybody. I think sometimes it just comes off that way to me because I can name 10 things that I didn't like about something and not hear one. And then something with WWE I didn't think was that big a deal. It's the headlining story and highlighted that it's a big scandal. And it's not really, it's all to do about nothing. You know what I mean? It's like some of it, when the MJF story was a big deal. I think it is a big deal. And he's supposed to talk tonight on the show, by the way. I don't know if you saw the graphic MJF speaks tonight on Dynamite. So I wonder what he's going to say. I'm sure if things have been worked out, he'll do a pseudo pipe bomb, you think, Mesh, tonight?
Yeah.
When he's going to speak? You think that's what it's going to come off as? Or would it come off, you think it's going to be a total work? Or maybe they'll let him shoot, so to speak?
I don't know if he's going to say anything tonight. I mean, what could he possibly say? The deal's been done. They gave me the money that I wanted. I mean, seriously, what do people expect him to say? Because it's not exactly like it's been quiet. So it's like, what are you expecting? What do you want him to do? The deal's either been made or it hasn't.
Has he posted anything on Twitter in the last few days, MJF? Oh, it's been quiet.
He's been kind of quiet, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I'm sure he'll open the show tonight. We'll all be watching, I'm sure. Yeah, maybe behind the scenes they work something out or whatever, but I wonder if they'll let him actually tell the real story, you know, of what's going on. I mean, regardless of what happens, he stays a year and a half. Do you believe he's WWE bound in that year and a half?
Dude, I believe that he'd be WWE bound by next month.
That's what I was thinking,
too. I mean, I'm pretty sure they don't have that 90-day clause in their contracts in AEW. You know,
they do or they don't?
They don't. Well, they have open contracts to begin with. They can go work for any company as long as it doesn't conflict with their dates.
That's right. That's right. But Tony's so obsessed about WWE. At this point, you don't think he is doing that with certain wrestlers, like maybe the bigger stars?
I don't
see what happened with Cody. I mean, Cody is a success. It's got to rub him the wrong way.
Cody was held, you know, in quiet, not because he was outrunning his AEW contract, but because WWE wanted him at WrestleMania. They wanted him to be the big reveal at WrestleMania. So I don't think it was, oh, well, the AEW contract prohibited Cody Rhodes from... No, it's just, I think that WWE said, great, now we'll put you on when we want you. You know, we're not going to blow you for some fucking Raw. We're going to put you on at WrestleMania. And they did. MJF, they're not going to wait till fucking WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
No.
If MJF fucking walks, dude, you're not waiting until April of next year. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, Money in the Bank. There you go, Dan. If he's actually fucking done, he's going to stay in Vegas.
Everyone gets so caught up in these contracts, but what they don't understand is probably a good lawyer or an agent like a Barry Bloom can actually negotiate to get you out of it. You'll have to give up some stuff, but contracts can be broken. I love that everyone is so set in stone that Kev, he's not up till such and such 2024. That could be amended. That could be changed by a Barry Bloom type of person. It can happen. It's not impossible, but everyone has shot that down where it's just like, it's almost like that's the comeback. They show me the date of his contract expires. I go, that doesn't mean what you think it means. It can be broken. Happens in films all the time.
Right.
My client wants more money.
A penalty. Right? You get a penalty for that.
A penalty.
Clause.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So either he loses money or he would lose money because he wouldn't get paid till 2024 to begin with. So, I mean, that's the first thing. But then people don't realize that a lot of contracts that do get broken early that don't have those kind of penalties, people would get paid the full amount for their contract. Yep. I don't doubt that Tony Khan's legal team is probably decent because, I mean, he deals with the NFL.
Sure.
So he has to have a competent legal team. That's what I believe. But you're right. As far as the idea of MJF not being able to break out of his contract, I disagree. I think
anything's possible. And it's not even that someone's even saying, well, MJF doesn't have that kind of money yet. He's not that kind of star. It doesn't matter. There's people who can get a kind of new actors who are co-stars in company. There's all sorts of ways, right? You can buy out contracts for pennies on the dollar. Sometimes you can make a deal to take this for that. Or you can do some sort of, there's some sort of under the table favor that can go on. I mean, there's different things that could be worked out. You know, there's in wrestling, you can work this kind of stuff out, believe it or not. Remember the time they had to have Mike Awesome come back from WCW to drop the belt to Taz in an ECW arena? You could work things out with other companies to say, listen, do this for us, we'll do that for you. It could be done. That fourth wall thing has been destroyed already. And the behind the curtain has been revealed since 1996, 1997. So, I mean, anything is possible. I just love when people go, nope, contracts till this solid. How do you know it's solid? We're just speculating.
But
he's got MJF for a year and a half. There's nothing MJF can do about it. That's not necessarily
true. They're just taking everything at face value. And that's the problem. It's like, look, Tony Khan's already been refuted as a liar. Has no qualms about saying whatever the fuck he wants to say in order to piss everybody off and excite the little fucking Kool-Aid drinkers. But the reality is he can lie all he wants when it comes down to brass tacks. MJF can walk. His company isn't making more than WCW. And he's not the second greatest booker in the history of wrestling, no matter how many times he tells you that.
And now, Dr. Brian Wright reads shit takes from wrestling fans on social media.
This next one comes from the Only Phenomenal Wrestling Group by Sean Hook Harris. Why some of y'all worried if Tony Khan does cocaine or not? Tony Montana did coke on a 3-hour movie, and y'all didn't say nothing about it. Say goodnight to the bad guy.
Catch more Shit Takes by Brian Wright on WrestlingSoup.com.
But with that said, Hell in a Cell takes place this Sunday, June 5th, in Rosemont, Illinois. They're not even calling it Chicago. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Frickin' Rollins, Hell in a Cell match.
I don't think Cody could. I think they got to keep Cody strong, even though, again, I don't think it would be terrible if Seth Rollins won. He is a top guy, but I think to continue the story, Cody Rhodes wins. And I think down the road, when they fight for the title, because I believe Cody's going to be world champion, maybe Seth will beat him for that title down the road. They're still young in their careers. They're both in their 30s, mid-30s. They're in their prime. I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes.
I'm going to go with Cody because I think Seth wants a break. I mean, this will be three in a row that Seth loses.
Maybe you're right. Maybe there is some sort of break coming. And
I mean, if Seth wins, then that means we're going to prolong this even further. I don't know. Seth losing three in a row, it spells vacation for him, you know. Yeah. Bianca Belair, Asuka, Becky Lynch, triple threat for the Raw Women's Championship.
I'm going to go Bianca Belair retaining.
Okay.
Are you so?
Bobby Lashley versus Amos and MVP 2-on-1 handicap.
But I'm going to go Bobby Lashley.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go Lashley on this one.
Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens in a singles match.
Gee, that's a tough one. If Ezekiel loses, I think it just takes the steam off of, you know, they're putting a lot behind them, giving them vignettes of going to the arenas. They're putting this WWE side stuff online every week for Ezekiel, building the character. I think Owens is at a point now, like Sami Zayn, but maybe to a different degree, that he can lose and not be a loser and still be in the title hunt down the road.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Ezekiel winning because they got to keep this character strong. And Kevin Owens can take an L in some way, shape, or form and not be hurt by it.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Theory versus Mustafa Ali.
Oh, God, Theory all the way. I think Mustafa Ali, we won't see him anymore after that match.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice. I just don't think he's long for the company.
The new Bullet Club, Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and Liv Morgan versus the Judgment Day, Edge, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley.
Looking forward to that. I'm going to go with Judgment Day. A lot of people think Finn's going to turn that night, but it doesn't make sense to me. Then you got four guys jumping on AJ Styles and beating him up every week. I AJ needs backup. I don't see Finn turning.
Yeah.
I still think Dijakovic could be the... I heard the reveal is going to be this Sunday of the new member. I think it's Dijakovic. I don't think Finn's turning. If Finn turns, boy, AJ's got some... But he's going to be beaten up every week, like Magnum TA back when the Russians were beating him up in the NWA every week. I mean, who's going to... Is Liv Morgan? I mean, but do you understand what I'm saying, Mish? If he turns, what happens to AJ Styles? He fights a whole army by himself?
AJ Styles goes on break.
Maybe, yeah, I guess maybe he goes on break. But I'll still go with Dijakovic, even though I think a lot of people will be disappointed with that because they'll be like, oh, no, T-Bar. But he's still under contract, and I can envision him in Judgment Day.
Honestly, Finn Balor doesn't need to go over to Judgment Day. And yeah. I like the idea that this Edge click is nothing but younger talent. I like that idea. I don't know. It just fits better. It seems like it's the better direction to go. Dijakovic is a guy that WWE could absolutely benefit from. He just needs that exposure. He needs to be put in an area where he can excel. Right. And then Edge can have his two bishops and a queen, you know, like however the fuck he wants to brand the Judgment Day again. Finn going over is going to be lackluster at best. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the scuttlebutt of what people are talking about.
Right. Well, that's Hell in a Cell. I'm not going to be there because I'm going to be coming back from DC. I'll be doing Awesome Con on Friday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's
yeah. Friday. So I'm doing Awesome Con with Julian Cannon and Lee Sanders from the RCWR show as well. We'll
be nice. Where is that? What town is that in?
Washington, DC at the convention center.
The DC nice. Convention leaving center. Friday?
I'm leaving, either Thursday night or Friday around midnight, 1 a.m. So I'll do Thursday night with Joe, and I'll probably put that up real fast for the Patreons. But, yeah, Saturday I'll be – Friday it goes live at 6:30, and then I'll probably be there till Saturday, then coming back Saturday night, Sunday afternoon. So I should be around for the actual pay-per-view to watch it. But I didn't get tickets for, I might, you know what, if there's tickets at the last minute, I might go. I mean, I know Tony Khan's making fun of WWE for switching to smaller venues and not selling as many tickets and shit, but you know, whatever.
The thing you'll be on, you can watch it online on Friday?
No, I don't think it might have an online presence, but okay. I'm not really sure. No, it's a convention.
Checking it out. Yeah. Cause Friday, though my birthday, I'm going out Saturday, so Friday I'm going to be home.
Okay.
And ironically, another event got canceled due to COVID's still real, folks. COVID's still affecting the job.
Yeah.
We had a whole event canceled this coming weekend. Two guys in the band got COVID. They need 5 to 7 days isolation. So clearly they can't make the show. Two feature acts that canceled.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I know. Sucks. I was just talking to my soundman about it.
Well, you're going
to
have
anything. We thought we were past this, you know?
A special meal with the family or anything like that? Or?
No. I'm going out with a couple of my male friends on Saturday.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, let's get ready to wrap it up. Much love to everybody that's hanging out in the fucking Discord and shit like that. Much love to the patrons that are subscribed. We'll have some new Frankie Gusses up this week as well. And yeah, Castle and Chicky will be up probably later on today. And yeah, and then I'll see everybody on Thursday.
Yes, I'll see everybody on Thursday for the Patreon show Chronicles with Trez. Trez will be with me on Thursday.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Much love. Peace.
Thanks, guys.
Wrestling Soup.
Hey.
Would like to thank you.
Thank you.
For listening to tonight's show.
That's right.
But to those of you that hate us, we know who.
Yeah, we know you.
There's one thing you can do. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Go
that's
fuck
right.
yourself.
Screw you.
Yeah, screw you.